Rupia, exit 579 from Highway 401 in Napanee. Ahoji, koi appointment nahi, drive through facility. Exit 579 from Highway 401 in Napanee. Quick Truck Lube, the one stop shop. 519-622-0660 ja quicktrucklube.com. QTL, because we care.
Assalamualaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Welcome back, listeners, to Muslim Perspectives. We've been off the radio since 2018, and it's great to be back. It's been almost seven and a half years since we were last on air. And we are today with our old colleague, in the sense that we've worked together in the past, Vesna, and it's great to be back in studio. And now let's begin with a recitation from the Quran as we deal with the subject of Isra wal Miraj.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى أفتمارونه على ما يرى ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى إذ يغشى السدرة ما يغشى ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Yes, indeed, these are verses from the Quran. The first selection is chapter 17, verse 1. And it says, glory be to the one who took his servant Muhammad by night from the sacred mosque to the farthest mosque, whose surroundings we have blessed, so that we may show him some of our signs. Indeed, he alone is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. The he refers to God. And the second selection was from chapter 53, verse 1 to 18. And it says, by the stars when they fade away, your fellow man is neither misguided nor astray. Nor does he speak of his own whims. It is only a revelation sent down to him. He has been taught by one angel of mighty power and great perfection, who once rose to his true form while on the highest point above the horizon. Then we approached the prophet, coming so close that he was only 2 arms' length away, or even less. Then Allah revealed to his servant what he revealed through Gabriel. The prophet's heart did not doubt what he saw. How can you, O pagans, then dispute with him regarding what he saw? And he certainly saw the angel descend a second time at the low tree of the most extreme limit in the 7 heavens, near which is the garden of eternal residence, while the low tree was overwhelmed with heavenly splendors. The prophet's sight never wandered, nor did it overreach. He certainly saw some of his Lord's greatest signs. This is in regards to the night journey that the prophet took on the 27th of Rajab, which falls on Friday in the lunar Islamic calendar. The night journey, in the first verse, Allah, in the first selection, Allah, God, glorifies himself for his ability to do what which none but he can do. For there is no God but God and no Lord besides him. And he took his servants for a journey, refers to Muhammad, by night means in the depths of the night. From Masjid al-Haram, which is in Mecca, to Masjid al-Aqsa, means the sacred house which is in Jerusalem. The origin of the prophets from the time of Abraham, that's Abraham, the prophets all gathered there, and he, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, led them in prayer in their own homeland. This indicates that he is the greatest leader of all. May the peace and blessings of God be upon him and upon them. The neighborhood whereof we have blessed means its agricultural produce and fruits are blessed. In order we might show him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of our great signs. And God says, indeed, he did see of the greatest signs of his Lord. We will mention below what was narrated in the Sunnah concerning this. Verily, he is the all-hearer, the all-seer, means he hears all the words of his servants, believers and disbelievers, faithful and infidel, and he sees them and gives each of them what he deserves in this world and the hereafter. Allah swears, the messenger, peace and blessings of God with him, is true, and his words are a revelation from God. Ibn Abi Hatim recorded that Ash-Shabi and others stated that the Creator swears by whatever he wills among his creation. But the created only vow by the Creator, God said, by the star when it goes down. Ibn Abi Najih reported that Mujahid said, the star refers to Pleiades, which it sets at Fajr time in the morning. Ad-Dahaq said, when the shayateen are shot with it. And this verse is like Allah saying, so I swear by the setting of the stars, and verily that is indeed a great oath. If you but know, that is indeed an honorable recitation in a book well guarded, which none can touch but the pure. A revelation from the Lord of all that exists. God says, your companion has neither gone astray nor has he erred. This contains the subject of the oath. This part of the verse is the witness that the messenger of God, peace and blessings of God be with him, is sane and a follower of truth. He is neither led astray, such as in the case of the ignorant who does not proceed on any path with knowledge. Nor is he one who erred, such as in the case of the knowledgeable, who knows the truth, yet deviates from it intentionally to something else. Therefore, God exonerated his messenger and his message from being similar to the misguided ways of others, the erroneous paths of others. such as knowing the truth and hiding it while abiding by the falsehood. Rather, he may God's mercy and blessings be upon him, and his glorious message that God has sent him with are on the perfect straight path, following guidance and what is correct. He, Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, was sent as a mercy for all that exists. He does not speak of his desire. God said, nor does he speak of desire, asserting that nothing the Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, utters is of his own desire or wish. It is only a revelation revealed, means he only conveys to the people what he was commanded to convey by God in its entirety, without additions or deletions. Imam Ahmad recorded that Abu Umama said that he heard the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of God be with him, say, verily, numbers similar to the two tribes, or one of them, Rabia and Mudar, will enter paradise on account of the intercession of one person, one man, who is not a prophet. A man was asked, who God's messenger is, who, O Allah, O God messenger, is not Rabia in a sub-trial of Mudar? The prophet said, I said what I said. Imam Ahmad recorded that Abdullah ibn Amr said, I used to record everything I heard from the Prophet of God, peace and blessings be of God with him, so it would be preserved. The Quraysh discouraged me from saying this, saying, you record everything you hear from the Messenger of God, even though he is a human and sometimes speaks when he is angry. I stopped recording the hadith for a while, but later mentioned what they said to the Messenger of God, who said, write, by he in whose hand is my soul, every word that comes out of me is the truth. Abu Dawood also collected this hadith. So this is some reflection on the verses, some explanation of the verses of the Quran, which was recited. So let's listen to a bit of Ali Zafar, Balagul Ula Bikamalahi.
तलब हुई सुए मुंतहा वो चले नबी सरला मका से तलब हुई सुए मुंतहा वो चले नबी सरला मका से
कमाल है हुस्न का मौजज़ा जे फिरा
So we are dealing with the subject of Isra wal Miraj. And as you know, every single verse of the Quran had a context in which that revelation was received by the Prophet of God, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone had a context. The text has a context. What was the context of the verses that we recited at the top of the program on Isra wal Miraj? Now, in the seventh year of his prophethood, approximately 616, 617 in the Christian era, Prophet Muhammad, his companions and members of the Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib clans were exiled to a secluded mountain ravine known as Shib Abi Talib, the Valley of Abu Talib. The social and economic boycott began on the 1st of Muharram, which is the first day of the new year, in the seventh year of the prophetic mission. And it lasted, this period of exile and boycott lasted for 3 years, ending in the tenth year of prophethood, approximately 619 in the Christian era. So why were they exiled? Why were they sanctioned? And some of this might bring about to you images of current contemporary times. So the ruling power at the time was the Quraysh tribe of Mecca. It imposed this boycott as a strategic move to suppress the spread of the message of peace of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The specific reasons include three, really. It's protection of the Prophet. The Quraysh demanded that Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle, and the clan leader surrender him, Muhammad, to them for execution. When Abu Talib refused, the Quraysh targeted the entire supporting clan. And then there's the growth of the Muslim population at the time. The conversion of influential figures like Hamza and Umar had strengthened the Muslims and alarmed the Meccan leadership. And then there were economic fears. The Meccan merchants feared that Muhammad's message of monotheism, of there being only one God, would discourage the pagan tribes from visiting the Kaaba because there was a God for each day and different tribes and different people paid obeisance to these idols different times of the year. So it was like a draw card to Mecca. Thereby, it would have ruined the city's trade and prosperity. And some of the conditions of the boycott. The terms of the boycott were formalized in a written document hung inside the Kaaba. It strictly prohibited three things: social interaction, marriage, and trade and commerce. No one was allowed to speak to, visit, or associate with members of the boycotted clans and Muslims. Marriage, intermarriage between the Quraysh and the boycotted clans were forbidden. Trade and commerce, no one could buy from or sell to them, leading to extreme scarcity of food and water. During this period, the exiles faced severe hunger and deprivation, often forced to eat leaves and roots to survive. The boycott finally ended when some Meccan leaders, moved by the suffering, intervened to tear up the document, which was reportedly found to have been mostly consumed by termites, except for the name of God on the document. The sanctions and exile were lifted in the 10th year of the Prophet mission, due to a combination of growing internal dissent among Meccan leaders and a miraculous sign involving the physical destruction of the boycott document. The internal dissent and tribal solidarity. As the boycott dragged into its third year, several prominent Meccan leaders who were not Muslims began to feel guilty and ashamed of the extreme suffering, starvation, and the cries of hungry children coming from the valley. Sort of brings some images to my mind when we're dealing with contemporary societies that are sanctioned and population is starved. And then they said, oh, there's no freedom in those societies, and then they attack them again. These individuals, mostly from the clans related to the Banu Hashim, formed a secret alliance to break the pact. There was Hisham ibn Amr, the primary initiator, who felt it was unjust to live in comfort while his relatives perished. It brings to mind as well the prisoners of conscience in the United Kingdom who have been on a hunger strike for 70 days, all because they are advocating for people's civil and human rights. And then there were the five rebels in Mecca as well. Hisham recruited four others, Zuhair, Ibn Abi Umayyah, Mutim Ibn Adi, Abdul al-Bukhtari, and Zama Ibn al-Aswad. And then there was public confrontation. They publicly challenged the leaders of the Quraysh. So it could be like public protests, specifically Abu Jahl at the Kaaba, demanding the document be torn up, that the agreement to sanction the clans and the Muslims be destroyed, that document. According to the Islamic tradition, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, informed his uncle Abu Talib that God had revealed to him that the written pact hung inside the Kaaba had been destroyed. It was discovered when it was investigated that termites had eaten away the entire document, consuming all the unjust clauses of the boycott. And all that remained, the only phrase that remained, was Bismika Allahumma, in your name, O God, remained untouched. And the final test, Abu Talib challenged the Quraysh, stating that if this was true, they must lift the boycott. When they opened the Kaaba and saw the condition of the parchment, they were forced to admit its invalidity, leading to the formal end of the sanctions. Now, did the boycott serve its purpose? No, it failed. The Quraysh realized that the three-year siege had failed to achieve its primary goals. Why? Due to steadfastness. The Banu Hashim and the Banu Muttalib refused to surrender the Prophet and the Muslims despite the starvation. The spread of Islam. Instead of suppressing the message, the drama of the exile had actually drawn more attention to the Muslims and Islam across Arabia, as pilgrims visited the valley during the sacred months and heard the Prophet's peace and blessing of God message. They heard his message. These guides explained the circumstances and motivations behind the lifting of the sanctions against Banu Hashim, highlighting both human actions and divine intervention. Now, what was the impact on those who were sanctioned, those who were exiled, those who were kept under siege for the 3 years, 617 to 619 Christian era, in the valley of Abu Talib? It had a profound physical, psychological, and personal consequences for the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, and his companions, leading to a pivotal turning point in early Islamic history. The physical suffering and starvation, the primary impact was extreme material deprivation due to the total economic blockade. Famine conditions, the exiles were forced to eat tree leaves and animal hides to survive. Stones for hunger. Companions often tied stones to their stomachs, a practice known as karaz, to dull the sharp pains of intense hunger. The impact on children. The cries of hungry children and sucking babies were frequently heard echoing through the valley, even by Meccans living outside of the ravine. 2. The year of sorrow and personal loss. The siege's most devastating long-term impact was the weakening health of the Prophet's closest supporters. leading to the deaths shortly after the boycott was lifted in 619 Christian era. The first was the death of his beloved wife Khadija. And if you know anything about the history, Khadija, he married when he was 25 and she was 40 years old. She was an independent businesswoman and she proposed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him. Khadija, the Prophet's wife, who had spent her entire fortune to sustain the community during the siege, died within months of its end. The malnutrition and harsh living conditions are believed to have contributed to her death. The death of his uncle Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle and protector, also passed away shortly after the exile. His death removed the Prophet's tribal protection, leaving him vulnerable to direct physical assault from the Quraysh. And then there was the emotional weight. This period of double bereavement is known in Islamic history as the year of sorrow. The psychological and spiritual resilience, however, despite all the trauma, the siege served as a period of intense spiritual fortification for the early Muslims. Their patience and steadfastness, the period is cited as a prime example of patience, sabr. Rather than retaliating, the Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, and his companions focused on prayer and total trust in God. The strengthening of bonds, the shared suffering, forged an unbreakable bond of brotherhood among the diverse followers, ranging from the wealthy clansmen to formerly enslaved people, which would later form the backbone of the community in Medina. And preaching, despite the isolation, the Prophet used the sacred months when the boycott was temporarily eased to preach to visiting tribes. The sight of his suffering actually increased the curiosity and sympathy of outside tribes towards his message. The loss of security. The end of the siege and subsequent deaths of his protectors fundamentally changed the Prophet's security situation. There was increased vulnerability in the absence of Abu Talib's influence. Meccan opponents felt emboldened to escalate physical attacks, such as dumping camel entrails on the Prophet while he prayed. So this motivated the Prophet to search for a new home. These events directly led to the Prophet, peace and blessings of God be with him, seeking support elsewhere. First in a town called Taif, where he was rejected. And not only simply rejected, he was stoned by the population to the degree that he bled profusely and had to physically flee from that area and hid in a garden. And as the narration said, God sent the angel, and the angel said, "If you wish, I can crush those immediately." And the Prophet, in his mercy to mankind, basically said, "No, perhaps their children would be submitters to the will of God." And of course, after this experience of being rejected for essentially what was refugee status in Taif, he was invited to Yathrib, which became Medina, paving the way for Hijra, migration in 622. Christian era. Now, these were some of the tremendous background that led to God gifting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the Isra wa Miraj, the journey, the night journey from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa to the high heavens. During this period of intense trial, the Prophet sent several chapters of the Quran to provide spiritual fortitude. Amongst them is Surah Al-Kahf, the cave revealed toward the end of the Meccan period of persecution. It recounted the companions of the cave who fled their own social boycott to preserve their faith. This served as a direct parallel and comfort to the Muslims in the valley. And Revelations often highlighted the stories of previous prophets who faced similar rejection, reminding Prophet Muhammad that he was following a path of established divine testing. Following the year of sorrow, the deaths of Khadija and Abu Talib shortly after the siege, God granted the prophet's miraculous experience to lift his grief. He was taken by the Buraq from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa to the heavens. And what a gift that certainly was. It offered the prophet consolation. He was taken on this night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem and then ascended through to the heavens, the mirage. He became face to face with God. This event is described as the ultimate prize for his patience, where he was honored in the presence of God after being rejected and starved on earth. And during this journey, he came back with the gift of salah, prayer. During this journey, God mandated the 5 daily prayers, providing the Muslim community with a permanent spiritual ascension to find peace during future trials. And it's also very instructive that during this night journey, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to go back several times to God and experience his presence after each, because the first he was ordered 50 times a day to pray. And then he was intercepted by Moses, the prophet, and Moses said to him, look, this is going to be too much. And then it dropped to 45 and so on and so forth. Several times back and forth, Moses says, you know, it will be too much for the Muslims, for those who submit to the will of God. And he was sent back and forth to in the presence of God till it was the final number was 5. Right? As the Meccan society became entirely closed to the Prophet, God facilitated new avenues for his mission. After the Prophet's painful rejection in Taif, God revealed that a group of jinn had listened to his recitation of the Quran and accepted Islam, showing that while humans might reject the message, other creations were responding. And it paved the way for Medina. The extreme conditions of the siege ultimately proved the sincerity of the companions, preparing them for hijrah or migration from Mecca to Medina, where God would finally grant them political and social victory. So these are some of the contexts and the background to this tremendous journey that the Prophet was gifted by God Almighty from the presence of the Kaaba in Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa, where he led all the prophets in prayer, meaning that he was the leader of the prophets, the final messenger, and then taken from there to the heavens and brought back the gift of salah to us for those who choose to submit to the will of God. So now let's listen to a bit of the Sabri brothers.
آیات کمال حق
کے در پردہ نہابود تُئی
کوئی حد ہے ان کے حدود کی
سالارجي رحمة للعالمين مقتدائے مرسلین پیشوائے انبیاء جنت نشانے ہوئے تو والشمس ایمان ہوئے تو واللیل وسوے ہوئے تو خوبی یہ رویت والدہا اس میں تو اس میں آدمی اس میں تو اس میں آدمی اس میں تو جانے عالمی اس میں تو جانے عالمی سارے تو فخر آدمی شانے تو شانے کبریا کوئی حد ہے ان کے اردو کی بھی کوئی حد ہے ان کے اردو کی بھی کوئی حد ہے ان کے اردو کی بھی کوئی حد ہے ان کے جو گیا ہے فرش سے عرش تک وہ براد لے گیا بے دھڑک کب بے سنی ولتے فلک گئے نیچے پاؤں سے پلسلک لٹ ظلم کی جو گئی لٹک تو جہان سارا گیا بہر ہوئی مست بلبل اس قدر تو یہ غنچے بولے چٹک چٹک کوئی حد ہے ان کے حدود کی 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 گئے گھر سے چڑھ کے بلا کمر شب وصل رخ سے ہوئی سحر یہ سفر تھا خوب کا خوب تر یہی تھا حد کی زبان پر کوئی حد ہے ان کے حدود کی 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 الگ الگ لاب کمال ہی کوئی حد ہے ان کے حدود کی یہی ابتدا یہی انتہا یہ فروغ جلوائے حق نما یہی ابتدا یہی انتہا یہ فروغ جلوائے حق نما یہی ابتدا یہی انتہا یہ فروغ جلوائے حق نما جہان سارا چمک اٹھا کشف ہے تجاب جمال ہی کہ جہان سارا چمک اٹھا کشف ہے تجاب جمال ہی کہ جہان سارا چمک اٹھا کشف ہے تجاب جمال ہی کہ جہان سارا چمک اٹھا کشف ہے تجاب جمال ہی رخ مصطفیٰ کی یہ روشنی یہ تجلیوں کی ہم آہنگی رخ مصطفیٰ کی رخ مصطفیٰ کی یہ روشنی یہ تجلیوں کی ہم آہنگی رخ مصطفیٰ کی یہ روشنی یہ تجلیوں کی ہم آہنگی رخ مصطفیٰ کی یہ روشنی یہ تجلیوں کی ہم آہنگی رخ مصطفیٰ کی یہ روشنی
وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم عبادت ہوتا ہے کبھی قربانی اور کبھی ایک ٹوٹے ہوئے دل کی آخری امید ہم نے کربلا میں عشق دیکھا ہم نے حضرت بلال کی اذان میں عشق سنا ہم نے حضرت اویس کی دوریوں میں عشق پہچانا ہم نے عالیہ کی سانسوں میں عشق جیا ہم نے ذرے ذرے درخت درخت ہر مخلوق کو نام محمد پہ ادب اور محبت میں روتے دیکھا مگر آج بات ہوگی ہم جیسے گناہگاروں کے عشق کی
ہگار کیا میرا نام
Indeed, I love Muhammad, that's last number, and until next week, Sunday, inshallah, at 3 p.m., wish you have a wonderful week, and peace out.
You are listening to WTOR 770 AM, Youngstown, Toronto.
The views expressed on the preceding program may not necessarily be those of the owner or management of WTOR radio station.
770 AM دی نشریات سنن تے حالات حاضرہ تو باخبر رہن دے واسطے نیوز انفارمیشن انالیسس الیکٹرک گڈیاں دے وچ ای آواز آفیشل ایپ یا ساڈی ویب سائٹ eawaz.com لوکل نمبر 6478724900
میری پورے سال کی سیونگ $400 ہوئی ہے
میری سیونگ $350
اور میری سیونگ سب سے زیادہ ہوئی ہے میں نے سیو کیے ہیں $2000
کیا چمتکار کیا مجھے بھی گر سکھاؤ نا
بھائی بات سادہ سی ہے ہمارے پاس دو گاڑیاں اور ایک گھر ہے اور ان سب کی انشورنس ملا کر میں نے زبردست سیونگ کی ہے آپ بھی اپنی گاڑی اور گھر کے انشورنس میں خوب سیونگ کر سکتے ہیں 6472903773 6472903773
हेलो नवदीप की हाल है बलजीत गल कर रही हूं यूके तो
तुसी कनाडा तो यूके गए हो तुहानू रोमिंग लग जाएगी ते बिल बहुत बड़ा आएगा
फिकर दी कोई गल नहीं है मेरे कोल बीवरटेल दी रोमिंग सर्विसेज है बहुत ही कट कीमत ते 5G इंटरनेट रोमिंग सर्विसेज तुसी किते भी ट्रैवल कर रहे हो यूके इंडिया पाकिस्तान सऊदी अरेबिया बहुत ही कट कीमत ते डाटा रोमिंग हासिल करो जे तुसी भी ट्रैवल दा प्लान कर रहे हो ता बीवरटेल नु कांटेक्ट करो 416-243-9936 416-243-9836 जां फिर विजिट करो beavertel.com
السلام علیکم جیسے کہ آپ لوگ جانتے ہیں کہ سوٹی فرنیچر کا نام مارکیٹ کے اندر پچھلے 40 سالوں سے ہے لیکن ابھی کیونکہ یہ بند ہونے والا ہے یہ لوگ وائنڈ اپ کر رہے ہیں تو ان کے پاس اتنی اچھی اور امیزنگ آفرز لگی ہوئی ہیں جو کہ آپ کو کہیں نہیں ملیں گی
اگر آپ اپنے گھر کو ماڈرن اور اسٹائلش لک دینا چاہتے ہیں تو سوڈی فرنیچر آپ کے لیے پرفیکٹ جگہ ہے یہاں آپ کو ہائی کوالٹی اور ڈیوریبل فرنیچر بہت ہی ریزنیبل پرائسز میں مل جاتا ہے یہ 3 pieces پاور ریکلائنر سوفا سیٹ یہ 2 colors میں اویلیبل ہے اور یہ آپ کو ملے گا 1699 اور سب سے امپریسو بات یہ ہے کہ سوڈی فرنیچر کے پاس ابھی بھی 1.5 سے لے کے $2 million کی انوینٹری باقی ہے
ट्रकिंग वाले वीरो ध्यान नाल सुनो ट्रक जिद्दां दा भी चलाउंदे हो मैनुअल जां ऑटोमैटिक क्विक ट्रक ल्यूब चेते आही ना रखियो ट्रक दी बढ़िया सर्विस लई क्विक ट्रक ल्यूब लो जी तीजी लोकेशन भी खोलती है एग्जिट 579 फ्रॉम हाईवे 401 इन नापनी आहो जी कोई अपॉइंटमेंट नहीं ड्राइव थ्रू फैसिलिटी एग्जिट 579 फ्रॉम हाईवे 401 इन नापनी क्विक ट्रक ल्यूब द वन स्टॉप शॉप 519-622-0660 या quicktrucklube.com QTL बिकॉज वी केयर
हेलो 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 नोबेल फ्रेश फूड्स अब लेकर आ गए हैं अपनी दो लोकेशंस पे बहुत सारी सेविंग फ्रूट्स पे वेजिटेबल्स पे नट्स पे और दालों के ऊपर तो आपको जाना है नोबेल फ्रेश फूड्स जो कि दो लोकेशंस पे अब खुल गया है नोबेल फ्रेश फूड्स एट 20 गिलीगैम ड्राइव यूनिट 603-604 ब्रैम्पटन एंड नोबेल फ्रेश फूड्स एट 2945 सैंडलवुड पार्कवे ईस्ट ब्रैम्पटन में तो जाइए और बहुत सारे सुपर स्पेशल्स का फायदा उठाइए कहाँ नोबेल फ्रेश फूड्स पर ज्यादा जानकारी के लिए कॉल कीजिए एट 647-966-9566
जे तुसी कनेडा विच नवे आए हो अते अंग्रेजी सीखनी चाहुंदे हो ता इंडस कम्युनिटी सर्विस तुहाडे लई मुफ्त इंग्लिश क्लासेस लेके हाजिर हन इना लिंक क्लासेस विच तुसी कनेडा विच सेटल होण बारे अते नौकरी लब्भण लई लोड़ींदे स्किल सीख सकदे हो क्लासां ब्रैम्पटन अते मिसिसागा विच पीआर कार्ड होल्डर वास्ते उपलब्ध हन ब्रैम्पटन लोकेशन ते बच्चियां दी सांभ संभाल दा भी इंतजाम है एलिजिबल विद्यार्थियां लई आउण जाण दा प्रबंध भी हो सकदा है वधेरे जानकारी लई 905-275-2369 ते संपर्क कर सकदे हो जां फिर www.indscs.ca ते जाओ इस दा भुगतान इमीग्रेशन रिफ्यूजी अते ਸਿਪ ਕੈਨੇਡਾ ਵੱਲੋਂ ਕੀਤਾ ਗਿਆ।